And our closing speaker for today is from Neurology and Neurosurgery. And Ed will be, is all hooked up to our monitoring system, and we're ready to go.
Okay. Well, while that's coming up, I can... Here we go. I guess I'm in the right place. Okay, so I have a laboratory at the Montreal Neurological Institute just up the hill. My name is Ed Ruthaser, and my lab studies the development of brain circuits early in development and as a result of experience. How does sensory experience modify the circuits in the brain? We all know that infants have incredibly plastic brains. My lab is interested in watching that happen. And so this is just an example from a mouse brain of the circuit that we're interested in, which is in the projection from the eye into the brain, into the optic tectum. And we can show just by putting a crystal of a dye into a point in the eye that that projects to a single location in the optic tectum, producing this very precise topographic map. But in very, very young infants, P1 mouse in this case, the projection is much more diffuse. So the same location projects to a much larger area. And over time, that refines down to a point-to-point connectivity. And that's important to actually produce a map in the brain that represents the outside world much more efficiently. And so we can go from this kind of diffuse, blurry image of the outside world to an inner representation that's much more accurate. So my lab wants to watch this happen. And instead of using mice to watch this, we actually use the albino Xenopus laevis tadpole. And these are cool animals because they're completely transparent. We can put them on the microscope. This is just an example of dye injected into the vascular system in a living animal. And so you can watch and see things happening in real time. So this is the system, the retinotectal system, and we've expressed some GFP, green fluorescent protein, in the eye. And you can just see the projection here from the eye out into the brain. And what we do is zoom in with the microscope in an intact animal again, just immobilized, and watch the axons, and this is a zoom in of one of those retinal axons, remodeling over time as the animal gets different sensory experiences. And so we've set up this system where we can place the animal on the stage, watch individual axons, and then present different stimuli. So we can start with darkness, switch to stimulation, in this case stimulating the two eyes in an alternating fashion, and then switch to synchronous stimulation. And I don't have time to go into why that's important, but it turns out that that has a lot of information that it can tell us about how experience and activity help guide the development of the circuit. And this is what we see if we image this at 10-minute intervals. Whoops. Ha ha ha. There we go. Okay, I'll let it play. So this is just going to be cycling over, but this represents 6 hours of imaging. And what you can see is that these axons are constantly remodeling and extending new processes, retracting processes over time. And what we found was that desynchronized activation actually increases this rate of remodeling. So if you see the yellow light come on, there's a big burst of growth. But then synchronized activation actually reduces it. So this is something that we're following up in the lab by using these kind of in vivo imaging approaches. We're also interested in looking at the postsynaptic cells, which are these guys here in red. These are the tectal neurons. And by manipulating various pharmacological manipulations and genetic pathways, we can actually look at what influences the growth of those cells. And so I won't go into it in detail, but you can see this cell on the bottom, which is expressing a gene that's been associated with autism disorder, actually grows massively over time. Okay, and these are the people in the lab who are really doing all the work. I just want to say that we have a lot of undergrads working, and I hope that some of you will come and join us. Thanks.